the wrath to come, Scripture says. Or, I think it's the day of the Lord. That is 1 Thessalonians 1:10. And then it says this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9. It says, "For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ." I don't believe He has eternal salvation in mind here. I believe based on the context of the chapter, He's talking about the day of the Lord. And whatever the day of the Lord is, we are rescued from that. We're not appointed to that experience or suffering. So we're not destined. The NIV has the word in 5:9, appointed. You could also translate it as some Bibles do. We're not destined for God's wrath. We are destined for glory. We're destined for reward. We're destined to be with Him. We're not destined for wrath. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ. And the result of wrath is condemnation. They go together. Revelation 3:10 says this. Revelation 3:10, "Since you have kept my command to endure patiently, I will also keep you from the hour of trial, from the tribulation period, from the day of the Lord that is going to come upon the whole world to test those who live on the earth." 3:10. The church of Philadelphia. Many believe that those seven churches of Revelation 2 and 3 not only were individual churches, literal churches that existed in that day, but they were representative of churches down through history. And so each one of them is a representative of a time of church history. And when we get to the Church of Philadelphia, which is the sixth one, I believe, we're going to the very end here. And this is the faithful church. This is the missionary church. This is the church that's trying to win people to the Lord. This is the our day, our age. He's talking to us here. We're part of that. Many believe that this church of Philadelphia, started at the turn of the century, the 1900s and on, which was a very missionary-minded century or time period or generation. The word "from" that's in Revelation 3:10, see it there? "I will also keep you from the hour of trial." That word "from" is the Greek word "ek," which means out of, not through. I will keep you out of the hour of trial, he says there. And so the rapture of the church is going to result in a change of dispensation, a change of age, out of the age of the church, the bride of Christ, us, and into this other age, which is called the day of the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 5:1 says this, "Now, brothers," and I'll add sisters, "about the times and dates, we do not need to write to you." Paul is saying this, don't worry about when all this is going to happen. Don't worry about what are some of the things that are going to happen at this event, this time. He says, remember, we talked about all that when I was with you. I taught you this stuff. So don't worry about it. And one of the reasons we don't have to really worry about it so much is we're not going to be here anyhow. Because chapter 4 talked about the rapture of the church. So he says, "For you know very well all about this." Let me add one more thought here related to all of this. To say that as believers in Christ we will be raptured before the day of the Lord comes, before the tribulation period begins, does not mean that we will be spared from persecution or hard times or suffering. As we draw closer and closer to the end times, suffering probably will come. Hard times will come. So just because we believe that doesn't mean it's going to be a piece of cake up to the rapture and then we're out here. Then everything goes crazy. It's very possible that everything will start to go crazy before that ever comes. And so that doesn't mean we will be saved from suffering or persecution or hard times to come. That's not what it means. What is the day of the Lord? He's talking about in verse 1. What is that day? In verse 2, I mean. The day of the Lord is a technical biblical term that's found mostly in the Old Testament that describes the day Jesus comes back to judge the world of its rebellion and sin. That's the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord is not just a 24-hour day. It refers to a period of time that begins with the rapture, will include the 7-year tribulation period, and also it includes the 1,000-year millennial reign of Christ. That's the day of the Lord. All of that. If it's the 7-year period of tribulation, and then you add a 1,000-year millennial reign of Christ, it's at least 1,007 years long. So it's not talking about a 24-hour day. It's talking about a period of time that we see here. Primarily, though, in the Bible, when you go to passages that are talking about the day of the Lord, it's primarily referring to tribulation. It's primarily referring to the 7-year tribulation period. You also need to know that within biblical prophetic thought, when you're in the Old Testament and it's, let's say it's talking about the day of the Lord, many of those passages have what's called a double fulfillment. There is a literal historical fulfillment that's going to happen within a short period of time. It could be 40 years, it could be a week. But there's going to be a literal historical fulfillment of judgment that's going to come on the people, on the nation of Israel. But often it has more than that in mind. Often as it's talking about that, then it goes all the way to the future, our future, and speaks of the time of that Revelation speaks about, the 7-year tribulation period. So there's this double fulfillment. There's the near, the immediate in some cases, like when the Israel people went into captivity, Babylonian captivity. That was on a small scale, a short scale, little block of time, was also referred to as the day of the Lord because it's His judgment. So they were being judged there. And so you need to understand that when you're reading it, that it can go, it can include both. So exactly, Scripture says in verse 1, the first thing this passage tells us is judgment day is coming. Don't doubt that. For you know very well all about this. I told you about this. All the prophets spoke of this. And so don't think it's not going to happen. It's going to happen someday. That's what Scripture tells us. In Joel chapter 2, verse 1, it says, blow the trumpet in Zion. Sound the alarm on my holy hill. Let all who live in the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. It is close at hand. Zechariah 14:1 says, at the very beginning, the day of the Lord is coming. 2 Peter, go to the New Testament. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10, it says, the day of the Lord is coming. The first thing we need to understand and believe is it's coming. One day it's going to be here. One day everything we read about is going to take place on this earth. Whether it's in our lifetime or not, we don't know that. But it is coming. Listen, you have been warned. Judgment day is coming. So you can never say, I didn't know. Because you've been warned. Kind of like the fella named Harry Truman. He was a guy that lived near Spirit Lake prior to the volcanic eruption of Mount St. Helens. Scientists watched as their seismograph registered greater intensity by the day. Every piece of scientific evidence collected in the laboratories and on the field predicted the volcano would soon explode with a fury that would leave the forest flattened. Warning blared loudspeakers on patrol cars and helicopters hovering overhead. Warning pleaded radio and television announcers, shortwave and citizen band operators. Everybody was warning. The echo of warning went up and down all over the mountain and multitudes fled there for their lives. But Harry Truman refused to budge. See, Harry was the caretaker of a recreation lodge on Spirit Lake. 5 miles north of Mount St. Helens, smoke enshrouded peak. The rangers warned Harry of the coming blast. Neighbors begged him to join them in their exodus. Even Harry's sister called to talk sense into the old man's head. But Harry ignored the warnings. From the picture postcard beauty of this lakeside home, reflecting the snow-capped peak overhead, Harry grinned on national television and said, quote, "Nobody knows more about this mountain than Harry, and it don't dare blow up on him." On May 18, 1980, Harry Truman cooked his eggs and bacon, fed his 16 cats with scraps, began to plant petunias around the border of his freshly mowed lawn, and at 8:31 a.m., the mountain exploded and everything for 150 square miles was flattened. This is the story of one stubborn man who put his ear to the mountain but would not heed the warnings. Listen, the day of the Lord will begin with the rapture of the church. And it's going to happen. The rapture is going to happen, and the day of the Lord will follow that. It's coming. We've been warned. When the day of the Lord comes, what will it be like when that does happen? Scripture tells us, first, it will be unexpected. It will be unexpected like a thief when he comes in the nighttime. That means you are not going to know ahead of time. A thief doesn't come to your house and make an announcement first and warn you that he's going to show up. No, and neither will Jesus Christ when he comes. Jesus said this in Matthew 24:36, "No one knows about the day or hour. Not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father." In Greek, I looked it up, no one knows means no one knows. It's pretty clear. So don't ever be confused or misled by some date setter who's trying to set a date that this is when Jesus is going to come back, because the Bible says nobody knows. We don't know. Down in verse 42 to 44 in Matthew 24, it says, Therefore watch, keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch. It would not have let his house be broken into. The problem is he didn't know. He doesn't know. It's because you don't know for sure when the Lord will come. We need to stay awake. We need to stay alert because we don't know when it's going to happen. Revelation 3:3 says this, Remember therefore what you have received and heard. Obey it and repent. But if you do not wake up, spiritually wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what time I will come to you. Again in Revelation 16:15, it says this, "Behold, I come like a thief. Blessed is he who stays awake and keeps his clothes with him, so that he may not go naked and be shamefully exposed." And then 2 Peter into the New Testament, chapter 3, verse 10, "But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and the heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare." Listen, the Bible teaches judgment day is coming. And when it comes, it will come unexpectedly. It will come also, number two, suddenly. That's verse 3. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come upon them suddenly, as labor pains on a pregnant woman. Yeah, you know, we kind of know it could happen, but when it comes, it's going to come suddenly. The Bible says that the time before Jesus comes back, people will feel safe and secure. It will be, to them, it will be just another normal, average, get up and go to work day. You know, just a usual day, a normal day. That's the way it was back in Harry Truman's day. He just got up, ate his breakfast, went out to plant his little petunias. Just another day for him. No concern. And then suddenly it happened. Scripture says that's the way it's going to be. People are just going about their business, doing what they've always did. Matthew 24, 37 and 38, Jesus is describing this unexpected suddenness of this return. And he says this, as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Just like that. Unexpected for most in the world at the time. And sudden. No time to get saved. No time to repent. No time to do what you need to do to be ready to meet God. No time. It will be sudden. One Bible teacher described it like this. He said, quote, in the last days, the teachers will be teaching. The preachers will be preaching. The doctors, they will be treating. The lawyers arguing. The politician speechifying. The salesman making calls. The pharmacist filling prescriptions. The managers managing. In short, all will seem to be normal and peaceful. At exactly that moment, when the world least expects it, Jesus will return. It will be sudden. It will be unexpected. And third, it will be dreadful. Unexpected, sudden, and dreadful. Verse 3 of our text. Destruction will come on them, on those that were left behind after the rapture took place. Those that didn't go to meet the Lord in the air. Those people left here. It says for them it will be destruction that will come upon them. I want you to notice how the Bible describes this day of the Lord. This period of time. Let me read a few verses. Isaiah 13 verse 9 says this. See, the day of the Lord is coming. A cruel day with wrath and fierce anger. To make the land desolate and destroy the sinners within it. Again, Jeremiah 46, verse 10. 46:10 says this, but the day belongs to the Lord Almighty, a day of vengeance, for vengeance on His foes. People who have rebelled against God, people who have cursed His name, people who have blasphemed Him, people who have persecuted His children and martyred His children, they're going to pay. And the vengeance will be God's. Joel 2:11 says this, the Lord thunders at the head of His army. His forces are beyond number. And mighty are those who obey His command. The day of the Lord is great. It is dreadful. Who can endure it? Answer, no one. When it happens, no one. And then in Joel 2:31, it really takes us to the very end of this 7-year tribulation period. The very end of the day of the Lord. And notice what it says, Joel 2:31. In that day, the sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. The day of the Lord will be unexpected, it will be sudden, and it will be dreadful. The last thing you need to know about the great and dreadful day of the Lord is, number 4, it will be God's final judgment on those who have rejected Him. God's final judgment on this world. When God's judgment is poured out on the earth, no one will escape it. There will be no place to run, no place to hide for all those who have turned away from Him and cursed His name. Revelation is talking about this in chapter 6, verses 15 to 17. He's talking about this dreadful day of vengeance. It says this, listen. Then the kings of the earth, the princesses, the generals, the rich, the mighty, and every slave, and every free man hid in caves and among the rocks of the mountains. And they called to the mountains and the rocks, please fall on us and hide us from the face of Him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of their wrath has come, and who can stand? Judgment day will come. We don't know if it will be in our lifetime or not. There are signs that are continually pointing that direction, that we're drawing closer and closer. But we don't know for sure. But it could. It could fall on all of those who do not know God through faith in Christ. And Scripture says they won't escape. It will be unexpected. It will be sudden. And it will be very dreadful. And your only escape, is to become a child of the living God through faith in Jesus Christ. And as you do that, you will become part of the group that will be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air before that great and dreadful day begins. All of those you know who are not saved, no matter who they are, will be left behind if it happened today. If the trumpet sounded and God called His church home, they will be left behind to face the darkest period of time the world has ever known, called the Day of the Lord. If you're not ready, if you haven't trusted Christ as your Savior, I would encourage you, I would plead with you, do it right there, right where you're sitting. Do it now. Because we don't know when this is going to happen. We don't know when the trumpet's going to sound. And the dead in Christ will rise first, and those who remain and are alive will be caught up together. We don't know. There's no promise that you'll have another opportunity. There's no promise that you have a tomorrow. All those who don't know Christ as Savior, I would plead with you to trust Him. Maybe you say, Pastor Bill, I'm ready. He's my Savior and my Lord, and I love Him, and I know it. We need to take every opportunity that God gives us to warn people, to tell them how much God loves them, and that God wants to forgive them of all their sins and give them as a gift eternal life. It's all they have to do is by faith reach out and take it. It's already paid for. He did it all. He offers it to the world, to you, as a free gift. All we have to do is receive it. All we have to do is believe the message. Believe He is who He said He was. God become man and died on the cross for you and rose again the third day for you. All you have to do is believe that. And then you have to step out and take it and believe as your very own. Receive it. We need to tell that to people. We need to give them the opportunity before it's too late. You see, saving people is God's business. Warning them, that's ours. That's what God's told us to do. The outcome, the results of that, not in our hands. It's in God's and their hands. All we're told is to tell and to warn and to share the love of God with those we know, and then leave the results with them and God. Father, we're a privileged people to know the future. Father, you prophesied and foretold that this is all going to happen one day. And like it happened the first time when Jesus came as a babe in a manger and died on a cross, as that was foretold and happened, this one too will happen. We don't know when. Father, may we be ready. May we be prepared. May we be watching for your return and not caught unprepared. Thank you, Lord, for telling us and warning us about what could happen tomorrow. We pray, Father, right now, if there's anyone here that's not saved, they would turn to you and trust you right where they're at. We pray, Father, for those that we know, that we wonder if they are, and some we know for a fact they aren't. We pray for them. We pray, Father, that you'd give us opportunities to warn them about what's coming. Give us the courage we need. Help us to share it with a love in our heart and a care for them. And we pray these things in your Son's name. Amen. Well, I thought about an old Jesus is coming again hymn that I remember singing it when I was a kid growing up in the church, and we just would blast this out singing this one. So take your hymnal to 529, and we're going to sing Jesus is Coming Again. And we got to stand up and